Hi everybody. In this video, I want to talk about MFN, Most Favored Nations, and how it's helpful, can be a hindrance, or totally hijack a sync license. So that's what we're talking about in this episode of Sync Supervision and Clearance.
Hey, happy people. Thanks for checking in. My name's John with the Sync Center. And we are deep into a series called the Sync Supervision and Clearance series, where we talk about questions and best practices for managing music in visual media, whether it's an advertising campaign, a theatrical release, branded content on YouTube, or even a first-time filmmaker in film festivals. Managing music can be tricky, so we like to set aside some time to unpack and talk about a common question, really to help you succeed in getting your project out in the world.
Hey everybody, welcome in. So just to set a little context for this video, I want to look at MFN, which is Most Favored Nations. It's a fairly common term. If you've worked in the sync licensing space, you're probably familiar with it. But I want to look at it in a little different context. I want to look at it from both sides of the transaction. The buy side or the sell side, whether you're supervising music and licensing music for a film, or if you're granting the use for your works, okay? Very different headspace, some different things to consider depending on where you are and what side of the transaction you are in. I wanna look at how it can help a negotiation and a project move forward, or how it often hurts and can hijack a use completely and derail it. So some things you wanna be very careful of. And lastly, I wanna give you a framework that we use every day in kind of getting clarity on this process and not pricing yourself out of sync uses. So first, let's define MFN. MFN is a mechanism that's used in negotiations. It's called Most Favored Nations. And basically what it says is that everybody's gonna get the same price. So it sounds wonderful, right? Everybody's gonna get the same price and it's a group hug and let's all kumbaya and all get along. Well, it can work that way, but other times it can kind of have the inverse effect. So how it works is that MFN grants parity to both sides of the transaction, the master and the publisher. So let's talk about a framework we use before we jump in here. For us, as we're brought into a project, say a filmmaker or an ad executive brings the Sync Center in to manage the music for the whole project, we're thinking about a handful of different things. We are thinking about budget. We are thinking about air date and timeline. We're thinking about song choices. We're working with the producer to really get in their head and to help the spot be a success throughout the context of the larger film or maybe just the spot. And we're also thinking about air date, timeline, how much runway we have, how fast the negotiation process works, and replacing music, okay? So there's a lot of moving parts there, a lot of levers that we're thinking about to really complete a project. So a framework we use to really help clarify and expedite and really bring reality and clarity together is something called rabbits, deers, and elephants, okay? So there are rabbits, there are deers, and there are elephants. So let's look at that in the sync licensing space. Rabbits can be smaller companies, maybe an individual or just a producer who's a piano guy would be a rabbit, okay? He's a mom and pop, he's a one stop, he's a rabbit, okay? And then there are deers. So deers would be someone like the Jimmy Van Heusen estate, the songwriter for Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. They're not a rabbit, but they're not an elephant. So they're right in between, they're a deer. So Ain't That a Kick in the Head, Come Fly With Me, Love and Marriage. It's a small catalog, but it's a powerful catalog. It's a very valuable catalog. So that would be something, the kind of catalog that we would think about as a deer, okay? And then there are elephants. This would be the Sony Trees, the Universals, the BMGs, or Warners. They, massive companies with teams all over the world. And as we're supervising, we're kind of thinking about each of these. Is the catalog a rabbit, like a music library, unknown content, lots of it, there's lots of rabbits, or are they a deer? Are they kind of a mid-size, well-known catalog, but, you know, a family estate kind of thing? Or are they an elephant, okay? So that's a framework we use that has been very helpful in supervising music for the last 18 years. So that is the framework I want to give you: rabbits, deers, and elephants. Okay, so with that, let's look at it from this. I want to look at it from both sides of the transaction: the supervisor side and the licensor side, or the person that owns the rights, the catalog underneath the sell side. Okay, so thinking about it from the supervisor side, we're gonna buy music. Buy. We're not buying it. We're licensing it, but we're calling it the buy side. The benefits of MFN is speed. We can move fast, faster than normal, because everybody's getting the same price. Say it's a $10,000 use, and it's five and five. $5,000 for the master and $5,000 for the underlying copyrights, the publisher. Okay? That's great because it adds clarity to the conversation. Everybody gets it. It's a neat, easy peasy, five and five. There's no secrets and no surprises. It's all the same, right? Another benefit is that there's really no negotiations. You either get it, you accept the use, or you don't. So if we're licensing music and we're licensing 12 songs for the film, it kind of functions as a blanket license in that you're not having to have 12 different negotiations with different entities. Okay, so it's helpful in that sense. It kind of moves things faster, there's clarity, there's integrity, and it kind of functions as a blanket license in a sense, right? It's not a blanket license because we're still negotiating, we still have price that everybody has to accept. So some of the, how it can hurt as we supervise projects, there is a danger of overpaying. So what do I mean by that? You can overpay for songs that aren't as valuable as top tier songs. So if top tier songs are Queen, Journey, Marvin Gaye, those type of songs, super known, super valuable songs, have been valuable for 30 years, will be valuable for the next 300 years, right? And you're doing MFN, you can overpay for songs that aren't at that level. So you really have to get clarity on song tiers. Are all the songs kind of at the same level? And you can say, okay, we're doing $10,000 MFN, five and five each side. That's neat and clean. But if you're licensing music that's not as valuable and rabbits, and there's a lot of instrumental piano music, you can't overpay for music. So you have to factor that in. All right, so the net-net is that songs are not equal. For the supervisors, the buy side, songs are not equal. There are different songs at different tiers, and the MFN can bite you in the butt or it can move the train faster. Also want to ask who has the leverage. It's very possible that Marvin Gaye has the leverage over a film that we're licensing the music for. They don't have to grant us the use, but they want to. They want to generate money for their catalog, but ultimately they have the leverage, okay? So when you ask and you offer that price, it has to be a solid price, right? Five and five may be an insult to Marvin Gaye. I'm just using that number as an example. Those are some things to think about from the supervisor side. Now I want to flip it and think about it from the publisher side, the rights holder side, who are selling in a sense. They're not selling, they're licensing, we know that. But they are granting the rights for that music. So some things to think about, whether you own a small catalog or a massive elephant like Sony, is this right for you? Is this a tool to move fast and avoid the negotiations and get a quick check? Hey, five and five, you just made $5,000 off your catalog without really doing much, right? So it can be a benefit to move fast and just get a quick check, right? How it can hurt you, and we've seen this often as we're replacing music for projects, is that smaller catalogs, rabbits, can be overly precious. Say with their instrumental piano catalog, they can ask for MFN with someone like a Marvin Gaye or a Journey, and it really can bite them in the butt, because their catalog is, we can find other instrumental piano music. We can't find other Marvin Gaye music or Journey music or Queen. Has a very different leverage point as you enter into a negotiation. So you wanna be careful of not asking for MFN if your catalog is kind of a rabbit level. You know, your small music library, one stop, or, you know, a producer who just does one thing, and that's awesome, but you wanna be clear in that you're a rabbit and you're not a deer, you're not a Jimmy Van Heusen. Like, you don't have 200 songs that are super known and super valuable, or you don't have 4 million songs like a Sony or a Universal. So you wanna get very clear in being comfortable in your own skin as a rabbit, deer, or elephant. So those are a couple things to think about. So some takeaways: understand the problem for the supervisor. This isn't a transaction. You want to build a relationship with supervisors. So relationships are everything. Also, you want to get clear and comfortable in your own skin. Are you a rabbit, deer, or elephant? Okay, you want to have a realistic view of where your catalog is. And you don't want to be overly precious with your catalog on the rights holder side. So those are a couple things to think about. Hopefully that's clear. MFN can be really helpful in moving things quickly and getting clarity, or I've seen it really hijack a project where somebody's overly precious with their catalog and they think their song, they think their stuff don't stink. And so you want to be careful of that. So hopefully this helps you as you're working in this space, whether you're a filmmaker, whether you're an ad executive or a music producer. This touches both sides of the transaction. So I wanted to kind of bring this to you and give you that framework to think about: rabbits, deers, and elephants. Also, if you would like to download our Sync Licensing Field Guide, we're making that available. Should be the link below. It's about 80 questions that we get often, definition terms and questions that will help you as you manage this space, whether you're a rights holder, producer, filmmaker, or ad executive. So with that, this is John. I will see you next time. All the best.